for joining us in worshiping the Lord. Well, several years ago, a worker in a Chicago rescue mission told of a Christian who seemed to have a perpetually thankful spirit. Even though his life was very difficult, in almost every service, he stood to give God thanks. One evening, he was wearing a bandage on his thumb because he had smashed it with a hammer, perhaps at work. Yet he could say, "Praise God, I still have my thumb." On another occasion, the man told about walking home from the grocery store after purchasing a small steak. He laid the package on the sidewalk momentarily while he tied his shoelace. Suddenly, a dog made off with his dinner. With characteristic cheerfulness, the man said, "Praise God, I still have my appetite." You see, the dog couldn't steal his appetite. He could steal the steak, but not the appetite. Well, the point here is that it seemed that nothing could put a damper on his grateful spirit. How many people here do you know like that? Who have no damper? Good. Well, you see, this man understood that God deserves our worship, our obedience, and our thanks. He had learned the lesson that whether he's prosperous or poor, delighted or disappointed, happy or having hard times, healthy or hurting physically, he knows that God loves him and God cares for him, and that God has always his best at heart. That's why the true believer in Jesus Christ can give thanks always, no matter what the circumstances are. In short, for the man in our story, gratitude to God was not a grind, but a good thing to do. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word today to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and transformation, is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's rich and refreshing truth in order to transform true, genuine, born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the commander-in-chief and the cornerstone of the church, and to convict unbelievers among here today of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to what? Genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and Seeker of lost sinners. So here is my message in a nutshell. So please pay close attention, very close attention to it, because it's going to bless your heart and my heart. Here is the message. Gratitude to God is a way of life for the believer in Jesus Christ, not a weight to make his or her life a grind. I repeat, gratitude to God is a way of life for the believer in Jesus Christ, not a weight to make his or her life a grind. In other words, thanksgiving to God is to be an integral part of the Christian's life here on earth. That is to say, true believers can give thanks to God always, no matter what the circumstances in their lives are. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ here among us today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to forcefully and freshly remind us that thanksgiving to God is a good thing in the life of the believer, not a grind. It will also vividly make it clear to us that the God who loves us and wants the best for us and cares for us, expect continual thanksgiving from believers in Jesus Christ. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Psalm 92, verse 1 to 5. Would you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, a psalm for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night with the 10-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. This is the word of God to the people of God, and may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, Psalm 92 is the only psalm designated a song for the Sabbath day in the Hebrew Old Testament. It was designated for use on the Sabbath as a hymn of thanks and praise to God, specifically celebrating the blessing of the Sabbath institution in Israel. The Sabbath, as you all very well know, was a day of rest. But it was more than a day of rest and putting up your feet. It was also a day of gathered worship of the one true God of the universe, revealed fully and finally in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship of the one true God, Yahweh, is the focus of that song. And what better way to bring a big smile to God's face than to give him thanks, no matter what circumstances are in your life today or in my life today? Well, during the Thanksgiving holiday, which is around the corner, we just heard Chaplain Jay talk about the Thanksgiving holidays and all the goodies that you are going to eat. During that time, we focus on our blessings and express our gratitude to God for them. But thanks should be on the lips of believers every single day. We can never say thank you enough to parents, like we did for the veterans among us here today, friends, leaders, and especially to God, who loves us and leads us, who guards us and guides us, who forgives us and fight for us, who defends us and delivers us, who comforts us and counsels us in the way we should go, and who builds us up and blesses us every day beyond measure. You see, my friend, when Thanksgiving becomes an integral part of your life, you find that your attitude toward life will change. You become more positive, gracious, loving, cheerful, and humble. The Holy Spirit now shows us how to become grateful people who bring a big smile to God's face. How many of you here can be described as a grateful person? Well, praise God for you. And how many of you want to get to the next level of becoming grateful people? Praise God. Well, the Bible is going to show us some simple and straightforward way to become more grateful to our God. So the first simple and straightforward lesson the Holy Spirit presents to us in Psalm 92 focuses on the teaching that is the goodness of gratitude. The goodness of gratitude in verse 1a. You see, a grateful person, listen carefully, understands that gratitude to God is a good thing, not a grind. Notice what the Bible says in the beginning of the psalm. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, verse 1 is verse 2 in the Hebrew Bible. So, but we are not using the Hebrew Bible here. Well, the word translated good also means pleasant, beautiful, excellent, lovely, delightful, precious, and cheerful. No one can deny the fact that it is downright good or lovely or excellent to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. To give thanks means to express thanks to God by way of honoring Him and giving Him the glory. Now, someone says, why is it good to give thanks to the Lord? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. It is good for three specific reasons. Let me give them quickly to you. First of all, it is good ethically in the sense that the Lord deserves such gratitude. It is the Lord's right. You see, God doesn't need your thanksgiving or my thanksgiving to make Him complete, but He deserves it. He deserves it. It is good also emotionally for the one who offers thanks because, listen carefully, it cheers your heart. Please listen. Show me a truly thankful person, and I will show you a truly cheerful person. Not only that, it is good practically because it leads those who hear your thanksgiving or my thanksgiving to do the same. It is good to give expression to gratitude because it excites gratitude to God in others. Personally, this is why I don't like to be around people who are grumblers. I want to be around people who are grateful in spirit. Why? Because they will encourage me to give thanks to God. But if I'm around people who grumble every time, their grumbling will rub off me, and pretty soon I find myself grumbling, complaining, like them. Please listen, to give thanks to God is but a small return for the great benefits and blessings He daily bestows upon your life and my life. I tell you, friends, thanksgiving is to the Lord is always good. It is never out of season. It is never out of fashion. It is never a waste of your time. It is never superfluous, but always suitable. That is why I say to you, a day without thanksgiving to God is a day that is lost and wasted. So please, let's all say, gratitude is a good thing. Amen. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Now, will you please notice that the Bible teaches us here that the giving of thanks is to be accompanied by two things, praise and proclamation. We see that in verses 1b to 2. The Bible says, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Listen, the grateful believer who is overflowing with gratitude to God cannot help but sing praises to the Lord. In other words, thanksgiving leads into praise. So praise actually comes naturally to those who count their blessings. How many of you have counted your blessings today when you woke up? Praise God for you. You see, the word translated singing praises also means to make music or to celebrate. You see, songs of praise that we sing to the Lord honor Him for what He has revealed about Himself and His benevolence toward His people. Someone has said, and I like this very much, he says, silent worship is sweet, but vocal worship is sweeter. Martin Luther often used to say, come, let us sing a song and drive away the devil. That's how he thinks of praise. Now in Psalm 22 verse 3, the Bible says, "You are holy, O you who are enthroned upon or inhabit the praises of Israel." Time will not permit me to tell you about the power of praise in the Bible. It was the praise of God's people that released the power of God to defeat three powerful armies that came against the tiny nation of Judah. It was the praise of Paul and Silas that released the power of God to open doors, prison doors, and cause the chains of all the prisoners to come loose. What might God do in your life if your thanksgiving is accompanied by singing praises to Him? What shackles and chains might God cause to fall off in your life if you, because of praising and singing thanks to Him? Perhaps the chains of alcohol and drug addiction, depression, discouragement, suicidal thoughts, feelings of hope and hopelessness and shame. All this can fall off as you sing praise to God. Oh, what blessings are awaiting the grateful believer who also lifts up his or her voice in singing praises to the name of the Most High. The Bible also tells us the grateful Christian not only praises but proclaims God's loving kindness and faithfulness. That is why the Bible specifically says to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. The word declare also means to make known, to publish, to profess openly, to proclaim, to celebrate, to praise. Believer in Jesus, have you professed openly today that God's loving kindness is abounding in your life? Have you proclaimed today that Jesus is always faithful to you, even though you and I often have not been faithful to Him? Have you acknowledged today how Jesus graciously and generously extends His loving kindness into your life? Now please notice the Bible uses the expression in the morning and by night. What is the Bible teaching us by this expression? Two things. First of all, it is teaching us, listen carefully, that no hour is too late for thanksgiving, and no hour is too early for thanksgiving. The end of the day must not be the end of gratitude. Second, the Bible is saying, by saying morning and evening, is saying that God is expecting from you and me continual thanksgiving. You see, be thankful every day, morning and night. That is why I stated earlier in my message that gratitude is a way of life for the believer in Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving to God must be an integral part of your life as a genuine born-again Christian. If it is not, then there is something very wrong with your Christianity. Please ask the person sitting next to you, are you thankful every day? Are you thankful every day? Well, please notice that the psalmist felt that every sweet sounding instrument should be consecrated to God for use in giving thanks and praising the Lord. That is what verse 3 is all about when it says, with the 10-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. The psalmist mentioned three musical instruments that can be used in praising God, namely the lute and the harp, and of course the lyre. These instruments enhance the beauty of the songs of thanksgiving and praise to God. I know that music is a divisive faint in the church. But I like what one person said. He says, fine music without devotion is but a splendid garment upon a corpse. Well, so far, the Bible has convincingly shown us the goodness of gratitude to God. It has also clearly stated that giving thanks is to be accompanied by praise and proclamation. Now it is about to confidently share with us something very special. It is something special that even eludes many people, including the rich and famous. But you ask, what exactly is that? Well, the answer is true gladness of heart. I tell you, friends, no amount of money can buy true gladness of heart. You can be laughing loud back there, but that is not true gladness. The Bible teaches us God is the only one who gives us true gladness of heart. So let me wrap up my message with this teaching on the gladness of the grateful person. I tell you, friends, God Almighty makes the grateful person glad. One of the benefits of heartfelt giving of thanks and praising God is the gladness of God, experiencing the true gladness of God. You see, the Lord, that is Yahweh, the self-sufficient, the self-existing, the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe, delights in making the grateful person glad. Show me a truly grateful person, and I will show you a truly glad person. Please notice how the psalmist joyfully and jubilantly speaks of how Yahweh himself brought true gladness into his heart and into his life. He says, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." The word translated glad also means to bring joy, to cause to rejoice, to make merry. So the Bible is saying the Lord is the reason for that gladness in your heart and my heart. You see, my friend, when the Lord reveals his work to you and performs a special work in your life, he makes your heart glad beyond measure. It's as if the psalmist is saying, "Lord, when I reflect on the works of your hands, my gladness knows no bounds. My heart overflows with true gladness and rejoicing. In fact, I cannot help, I must and I will rejoice in you with all my might. Oh Lord, I will continually sing for joy, for you alone fill my heart with true gladness." Is that your story today? Have you experienced true gladness when you woke up today? Well, my friend, are you seeking gladness of heart in the wrong places, such as getting high on drugs and alcohol, getting involved sexually, gambling, going out with the wrong crowd? May I humbly say to you today that you may get some emotional high, but that is not true gladness. As such, you'll be disappointed again and again. It's so sad today to see a lot of people with gloomy, grouchy, and grumpy faces. You hardly even see a smile on their face. Could it be that they are seeking gladness in the wrong places? When I was in seminary, life was very difficult for me. Not that life is not difficult for me now. I had to respond to God's call upon my life to leave the engineering career I was pursuing to prepare for ministry. And I told God before I left, "Give me the money before I go to seminary." He's like, "Go." I wanted the money before I step out. He said, "Go." Well, God provided miraculously in many ways to pay my tuition in full before I finished my studies. But there were times, when God didn't come through on the school's timetable. So one day, to cut the long story short, the international student advisor called me into her office and said to me, "Joseph, you are in a difficult situation, but you always look glad. Why not try to be gloomy so that other people will see you that you have problems and perhaps they will help you?" Well, Bible teacher Donna Gray Barnhouse once attended a luncheon with 30 to 40 people. Before they ate their meal, a man offered prayer and began by thanking the Lord for the food and water. Barnhouse said he had forgotten what other things were mentioned, but he was gripped by thanks given for water, common, ordinary drinking water. He concluded, "I then began to think of other common things for which we never thank God for, and began thanking Him." You see, we too often forget to express our gratitude to the Lord for the common things of life, even though they are vital to our existence. So what difference does this message make in your life and my life? Please listen carefully as I wrap up this message in a few minutes. If you are a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, this is the difference God intends for this message to have or to make in your life. First of all, confess to Jesus that you often forget to express your gratitude to Him for the commonplace things of life, like food, clothing, shelter, even though they are so vital for your existence. Commit yourself today to the Holy Spirit to make you a grateful person who continually offers gratitude to Jesus for all His blessings, His bounties, and benefits to you. And come to Jesus today and cast whatever care you may have upon Him with a grateful heart. Whatever that need may be, whether deliverance from addictions, breakthrough in your life, to get out of the rut, to provide a miracle job for you, God is able. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you cannot experience what the psalmist experienced today when he joyfully said, "You, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done." It's impossible to experience that in your state of unbelief. So, what do you do? You come to Jesus just as you are. You confess to Jesus that you are a sinner. And you call upon the name of Jesus with sincere, childlike faith that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that He rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy and righteous God, to set you apart for His purposes, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come. So the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you want God to do a greater work in your life, to take you to the next level of gratitude, you come, we'll pray for you. And whatever need you have, please come with that need with a grateful heart. And we will join in praying for you and see God work on your behalf. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, this is where you come and do business with me. And we'll pray to Jesus to work in your life. Are you coming? Now, if you also want us to come and pray for you, we are willing. Your food will be ready. So we'll pray for the food.
Watch this, my bag, you're going to have a real bad day.
We'll pray for your food. We pray for your food.
Brother Joseph, glad to meet you, man. You're great.
Praise God. Praise God. God is great.
Pray for my daughter.
God is great. I pray for the rest of them.
Okay. Yeah.